Well, if we haven't met, my name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. Glad you're here today as we start this new series. It's really aimed at helping you navigate this next season of life and the busyness that tends to attack each of us in the holidays and the stress. And you know, I mentioned earlier that if you feel overwhelmed, the real issue behind all of that is an issue of trust. I could ask you, who here feels overwhelmed? But I know a lot of people do. As I greet you, as you walk in and as you leave, almost every week there's a plenty of people that say, when I ask, how are you doing? They say, oh, I'm just so busy, right? Some of you guys said that to me this morning. You didn't know that you were going to be an illustration, right? I'm so busy. And this is a season of life where that becomes even more apparent. I'm so busy. But what are we busy with? We're busy with what the culture wants us to do this time of year. We're busy with the pressures of work or the expectations we put on ourselves. And each of these things we end up saying that we're busy with, it's really a reflection of what we put our trust in. When we put our trust in ourselves to hold it all together, to look good, to make life work the way it should, we put our trust in our culture, that this is what's going to make me happy during this time of year. Spending loads of money on Christmas presents. That's going to make me happy. That's where my trust is. What does that do? Creates more stress. So today, I want to start by just asking you, if you're overwhelmed, today, would you begin by examining where you place your trust? Where do you place your trust? You know, the book of Proverbs is where we're going to land each of these next few weeks as we talk about these anchors. And Proverbs has some incredible wisdom, ancient wisdom, that is so true and so applicable to how we live our everyday lives right now. Why don't you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I want to start there today and read a passage of Scripture that if you've been a believer for a while, you've probably heard. Maybe you've quoted, maybe you've memorized this. It's a Scripture that sometimes can be misunderstood. But we're going to look at it and we're going to understand this is a passage that is really describing what it looks like to have authentic trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Well, look at this for a second. This passage, it begins with saying, you are to trust. But it ends with a wonderful picture of what happens when you actually do. This is healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. How many of us who are busy would love to be refreshed? How many of us who are overwhelmed with life right now to the point where it's like physically weighing on us would love a healing touch from the Lord? Would love that refreshment and healing that comes when we trust Him. So what does it look like to actually trust Him? What does it mean to have a trust the way God defines it, not the way we might define it or our culture might define it? That's what we're going to answer this morning. And we're going to look at this passage and see that there are four descriptions of what trust should look like in our lives. And it starts, it's very clear. It starts in verse 3. And if you read it, you see that trust looks like this. All of my confidence is aimed at God. Verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. This proverb, it's begging to be understood. It's begging by being so clear. It gives us a positive description of what it looks like and a negative one. It says, here's the positive look. Here's what you're meant to do. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you trust in the Lord? What does the author of Proverbs mean here in this passage where he's saying trust in the Lord? It means trust in who He is. Do you trust in who the Lord really is? Do you trust in his goodness? You know, so much of what this is built on is understanding his character and it being rooted in his goodness. Do you believe that God is perfectly good at the very core of who he is? Do you believe everything that he works in this world, that he works for good? Or do you look at him and things about him, or do you look at the world and the way the world works sometimes, and do you stop and say, maybe God really isn't good? See, the author of Proverbs wants to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to trust in his goodness. That he really is, truly is good. And not only is he good, but more specifically, his ways are good. His ways as revealed in the scripture. He wants you to look at God and to trust in him, but then trust in the ways that God has lined out life to work. That means that you end up matching your life with how God has said life works. See, choosing to trust in God means you're choosing God's wisdom and you're making it your own. You're saying, my life, I'm going to trust in him. That means my life, I'm going to pattern as best as I can with the way God wants it to work. In fact, he says, trust. And he says, with all your heart. This is the idea of literally laying down on your face in front of God. Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Let's practice. Everybody, let's lay down on our face. Right. You guys wouldn't do that, would you? This is a picture of a servant who's out of respect for his authority, for his master, is laying on his face waiting for instructions for the day. This is a picture of a soldier on the losing side of a battle. A soldier whose regiment has lost the battle, and now he is laying down on his face in front of the conquering general. And in that moment, whether he wants to or not, everything about that soldier's life is built on whatever that general does. Right? That general can say, execute him. That general can say, enslave him. Done. That general can say, set him free. But everything about that soldier's life, as he's laying down face in the ground, is dependent upon the general. This is the kind of trust that we're called to have when we trust the Lord with all of our heart. When you trust God with all of your heart, it's you saying, my life is so intrinsically tied to God's authority and his ways. My life is going to reflect as perfectly as I possibly can, living out exactly what God has asked me to do. In the way I think, the way I speak, and the way I act. This is the level of trust, this laying down on your face before him. This is a positive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, and lean not on your own understanding. What's your own understanding? See, our understanding is as us as humans. We all do this. We study our whatever discipline of school we have, or we just make observations about life and about the world. We see the way people treat each other. We see the people who succeed in life, the people who fail in life. And so we sit back and we form our worldview. And every single one of us has a tendency to form our worldview separated from what God has said. Now, I know in this room many of you are believers who know the Word of God and do your best to line it up, but left on our own, what do? We lean on our own understanding. We look at how the world works. We look at who succeeds and who fails and who is happy and who's not. And we say, I'm going to build my life like that. And it's saying, I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm deciding for myself, not according to what God has said, how I'm going to live. We do this with our time. When you choose where to commit your time, that is a reflection of what reality you're living in. If you're living in the reality where I'm trusting the Lord with all my heart, the way you commit your time will reflect that. But if you are leaning on your own understanding, the way you spend your time and commit your time will reflect that. The way you spend your time, is it all pointed about what's going to make you happy? Is it leisure as much as possible? Is it relaxing as much as possible? Is it always trying to earn an extra buck to get ahead, not really thinking about other things that God would have you think about, but it's all about you and your finances? That's a worldview. And you know what it is? Leaning on your own understanding. Or you can stop and say, God, what do you say about my priorities? What do you say about how I spend my time? What do you say about how often I should rest, how much I should engage in serving people? And then do you pattern your life after that? Do you trust the Lord? In the face down kind of way, like, God, your ways are best. It leads us to ask this question. Would you say all your confidence is aimed at God? Is all your confidence aimed at God? Is he the source of truth in your life? Is he the source of goodness in your life? That's the first description. All my confidence is aimed at God. But secondly, you get to the next verse and you see that not only is all my confidence aimed at God, but all of my ways are aligned with God. This is where sometimes we have failed to interpret this passage correctly. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is all about the direction of your life. And here's, unfortunately, how this passage can be handled sometimes. When you read this passage, here's what it says. If I acknowledge him in all my ways, he'll make straight my paths. So if I if I make whatever decision I want and just say, hey, God, will you bless this? Or if I pray about it, then he's going to fix it and he's going to make it work in a way that's really just going to benefit me perfectly. Anybody here ever done that? It's not, God, what do you want me to do? It's, God, this is what I want to do and I'm going to ask you to bless it. Those are two very different things. But when this is saying to acknowledge him, when this is saying to, in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path, he's saying that, no, he's not. You're not looking for him to bless you doing what you want. It's you are making decisions about every way you go. And those decisions are an acknowledgement of him. So it's not, do I go this way and then ask God to bless me? It's, God, show me which way to go and I will go that way. That's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. When you acknowledge him in all your ways, you're saying everything I do is meant to point to God. You do realize there's no such thing as a part-time Christian, right? There's no such thing as coming and being a believer of Jesus and acknowledging him on Sunday mornings in worship and then going and living your life in whatever ways you want to. That does not line up at all with anything the Scripture teaches. It's an all of my life. I trust him with all of my heart. I acknowledge him in all of my ways. And then here's what happens when I do that. It says, when I do that, he will make straight my path. One theologian puts it like this. He says, in the total expanse of human life, there is not a single square inch of which the Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare, that is mine. I want you to think about your life in terms of that for a second. How much of your life can you confidently say that Jesus is able to declare over it, that is mine? How much of your day do you spend just totally separated from what God has for you? How much of your day do you spend living life in your little bubble, doing whatever you think and whatever you want or whatever's demanded of you of work, not connecting it at all to the fact that even if you're at work, God wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways? See, this quote, it acknowledges something. Jesus is sovereign over all things, and he wants that sovereignty, that control, his reign and his rule to be visible in every square inch of your life. He wants to reign over every single second. He wants to be Lord over every single breath. Is that true? Are you acknowledging him in all of your ways? The straight path is a promise here, but it's not the promise you might think it is. It says if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will make straight your paths. And at first blush, you look at that and you're like, you know what? That means he's going to make my life really easy. Straight path sounds like that. A straight path in the scripture is a path that has been leveled out and all of the obstacles have been removed. So it almost makes you think, man, my life is just going to be smooth sailing from here on out. But this is not talking about an easy life. This is talking about an ethical life. If you're acknowledging him in all your ways, this is talking about he's making the path for your life to look like Jesus's really smooth. He's making it so you so clearly understand what it looks like to live in purity instead of lust. What it looks like to live in generosity instead of greed. What it looks like to live in peace instead of anger and hate. A straight path is not an easy path. It's a life that looks more and more like Jesus. That's a straight path. And that happens when you acknowledge him in all your ways. I know you guys. So many of you, I know you want to be like Jesus. You want to know how to become like Jesus? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make straight that path so that your life will look more and more like him. But this is a path that leads to an end. It's not just a path that goes on forever. The end of this path, the path that he's leading you on, is the purpose. It's the purpose of acknowledging him in all your ways. It's the purpose of trusting him with all your heart. And that purpose is worship. This is a straight path so that you can truly and authentically, from the core of who you are, worship him. Now, Jesus says the time is coming when believers will worship in spirit and in truth. This is the path for you to really worship. Again, not just worship here on a Sunday morning. You know, I hope this is making sense. I hope I'm not being harsh here. If you come and the extent of your worship is a Sunday morning experience, you are missing out. If you come and worship for you is a few songs and listening to a message and even giving in your worship, if that's the extent of your worship and it does not spill into the everyday life as you acknowledge him in all your paths, you are missing out. That's a partial worship. That's an incomplete worship. The real worship happens when we leave. When we follow that straight path that leads us to worship him in spirit and truth. To live the kind of life that is not easy, but is ethical, and it's a Jesus ethic. It's an ethic that is aligned with his heart wherever you go. It leads us to this question. Are all of my ways aligned with God? Are all my ways aligned with God? Now think about this in terms of the busyness of life. When we start getting busy, oftentimes we start assigning tasks to ourselves, many of which, if we're honest, they're not aligned with God. Does God want you out in the chaos of holiday shopping, super stressed about what to buy your third aunt or your aunt twice removed? Is that God's heart? Probably not. Does God want you stressed come January about your finances because you used your credit card for all of these presents for people in your family? No. But what have you done? You've added things into your life that aren't aligned with God's ways. And what does it do? It creates the busyness. It creates the stress. And ultimately, it creates this feeling of, I'm just so overwhelmed. Why? Because you haven't aligned your ways with his. Here's the third description of what real trust looks like. Real trust, the trust anchor is, third of all of my wisdom, all of my wisdom is found in God. Verse 7, the author writes here, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. To not be wise in your own eyes is simply saying this. don't think so highly of yourself. Don't think so highly of yourself. You ever met someone who was really smart and they knew it? Everyone's looking at me right now. No, joking. You ever met someone who was so smart that they actually looked dumb because of the way they treated people? You ever met someone who was really attractive and they knew it? And because they knew it, they end up treating everyone else in ways that are just so cruel or wrong, and they end up looking like the ugliest person you've ever seen? That's kind of what this is saying here. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't think so highly of yourself. Recognize that you and I, we don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. To not be wise in your own eyes means that you don't find wisdom in yourself. Instead, where do you find it? It says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Now, fear the Lord is sometimes a difficult thing to understand. When we hear fear the Lord, sometimes we think, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does that mean I'm supposed to be like gripped in terror of God? Does fear of the Lord kind of look like this, where it's like I'm just like this puppet waiting to be crushed by an angry God the moment I slip up, the moment I do something wrong, the moment that something wrong comes out of my mouth? Is that what fear of the Lord is? And if you understand the scripture, that's not what fear of the Lord looks like. Fear of the Lord is not about this fear of Him destroying us. Fear of the Lord is this awe that results in a worship. As you recognize who God truly is. Fear of the Lord looks a lot more like this. Where this is the response when you recognize who is God. And you remember, God is the one who created all of this. We say that. And then, I say that all the time, and then I move on so quickly. Hey, God made everything around us. Oh, and there's this other thing too. Can we just stop and pause for a second and recognize what that means? He made everything. Not only is he the creator, he is the savior. He's the one who came in the flesh, who experienced the hardship that you and I did, who felt more overwhelmed than I think we ever will, as he was carrying the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. And when he hung on a cross, and he was buried, and then he rose again. He's creator, and he's savior, and one day he's going to be the judge of all of humanity. When you recognize who he is, the response that is supposed to well up inside of us is a fear. But it's a fear that's like, you are so awesome. You are so amazing. My mind is blown by your majesty. See, fear of the Lord is the opposite of being wise in your own eyes. When I'm wise in my own eyes, here's what I say. Man, I am so awesome. That's worshiping myself. But when I fear the Lord, I'm not looking at myself. Even if I think something's good in me, it's recognizing that anything good in me really has come from Him. And so I turn around and say to being, Mike, you are so awesome. I say, God is so awesome. Creator, Savior, Sustainer, Judge. Whew. That's fear of the Lord. It's a fear of the Lord that leads us to turn away from evil. Turn away from evil. This is part of having Him acknowledged in all of our ways. It means when I'm in a situation where evil is present, and that's every day, you guys. Don't be lulled into thinking that evil is something that only touches dark places in the world. The enemy is deceptive. He's tricky. He's conniving. He's deceiving. He's trying to get into you in ways that you don't even realize that it's evil at the front door. But it means when I'm faced with evil, I choose to worship God and I choose to turn away from evil. It means that there's times in my life where I recognize evil situations that are kind of chronic in my life. So I simply don't go to places where I know the evil is waiting for me, where I'm likely to sin, where I'm likely to be tempted, where I'm likely to be weak and to fail. I avoid those places. Why? Because I don't trust in my own wisdom. I'm not wise in my own eyes. I don't say, oh, you know, I can go hang out here for a while. I'm strong enough. I won't be tempted. It's wise in my own eyes. But instead, I turn from evil. See, so much of what we do when we get busy, when we get overwhelmed, is we start to chase these distractions. These little carrots hung out on a stick by the enemy, drawing us away from what's true and what's good. And we chase these little distractions and we end up overwhelmed because we're wise in our own eyes, thinking we can walk the line, thinking that we can be strong enough, and really, we're not living in fear of the Lord. We're not living in fear and we're not worshiping Him. So it leads us to this question. Is all of my wisdom found in God? Is all of my wisdom found in God? Do you believe that the way you think about the decisions in your life, that the everyday ordinary decisions even, is this a wisdom that is trusting in yourself, in your intelligence, in your education, in your track record of making wise decisions? Or is it a wisdom that says, this is who God is, this is His character, and so this is the decision that I'm going to make out of it? That's the kind of wisdom we're talking about here. The kind of wisdom that reflects a true trust, that has that anchor of trust. Finally, as this passage wraps up in verse 8, you see that the fourth description is really that all of my hope is anchored in God. Verse 8 says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know, you ask a busy person, how would you like some refreshment? How'd you like refreshment in the busyness of life? And all of them, without doubt, would say, oh, I would love that. But how do we often go and find that refreshment? When we're talking to someone who's busy, when I'm talking, what do we say? You know what I really need? I need a vacation. I need to go sit out on a warm beach with no responsibilities and soak up the sun. I need to go play. Or, you know, I need a spa day. I need to get my nails done. Right? Like, what does refreshment come from for you? Where is the relief from the overwhelming feelings? Where is the relief from the busyness? Where is your hope? See, this is a kind of hope that is way better than a spa day. This is the kind of hope that is way better than a vacation on a nice beach. This is a spiritual hope where here's what happens. When you say, I am going to trust the Lord with all my heart, when I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, when I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways, when I'm not going to be too wise in my own eyes, but instead I'm going to fear Him and turn away from evil, when all of your trust is wrapped up, not in what you think you should do or what you think is right or what you want, but when it's wrapped up in God, something supernatural happens in your physical being. It's healing. It's refreshing. Now, some will say that as a believer, this means that you have to be healed no matter what. That's not what this is saying. But it is tying your spiritual life and your physical life tightly together. When you get busy, you get overwhelmed, there are physical things that happen. Ulcers, anxiety, you need to go see a doctor, needing to be on medication. So those things are appropriate. I'm not knocking those, but recognize what is happening here. Your spiritual life and your physical life are tied together. They're not separate. So maybe when you start to experience some of those physical things, instead of saying, first and foremost, I need to see the doctor, maybe the first question is, where is my trust? Is it in myself? And being able to get all this done and taking on everything that I need to take on and saying yes to every task? Or is it in the Lord and in His ways? See, these verses are not about God blessing you as you go along your way. These verses are about you and I aligning ourselves with God and trusting Him so fully that we're able to experience the refreshment that comes really by allowing certain things to fall off our plate because we've said yes to the right ones. Instead of the misery of busyness, God, He's offering hope to you. And this hope is that anchor of trust. But the thing is, an anchor, you have to deploy it, right? You have to drop the anchor, right? What's the saying? Anchor's away, right? It's got to land. It's got to land and secure you. So what does it look like for you to have the anchor of trust in your life? Let me tell you two stories. Both of them are about us. The first story is tomorrow morning we wake up. And if you're like me, I've got a task list that grows every day. Even on my off days, I've got everything at home that I need to do. I got house repairs and vehicle repairs and kids to take care of. And then it's just like, it just builds and builds and builds. So tomorrow we wake up and we know that we have so much to do. And so what do? We get an early start and we get right after it. So for me at my house, that means helping with the kids, getting them ready for school. And maybe I make their lunches and start getting them to get ready and snap the whip. I mean, you guys know what it's like, right? And I get after that task. And then after they're off to school, then I start doing the chores that I have at the house. The things that I've got to repair and the busyness there. And oh, you know what? This is a short week. There's Thanksgiving Thursday, which means probably family stuff on Friday, which means I've got 3 days to do 5 days worth of work. So my off day is not really my off day this week, right? And so I get after that, and I start doing my work there, and then I go pick up the kids, or maybe that's what it's like for you, or you come home late, and you help with dinner, and then there's dishes, and getting the kids to bed, and then, oh, I'm so tired, I just want to watch a TV show, click. And then after that, I just kind of stumble into bed. And the next morning, I wake up and do the exact same thing. Except the next day, I've got to stop at the grocery store on the way home because we're cooking these extra dishes for the Thanksgiving meal in a couple days that we're taking over to the parents' house, right? And so there's extra chores that night, and I go and I land in bed. And it repeats, and then there's a holiday, and then there's the visiting. And before I know it, Thanksgiving's passed, and it's December. And it, you know what? If you're like me, I forget to buy presents. I get too busy, and so all of a sudden, I'm like out at 8 o'clock at night trying to figure out, what am I going to buy my wife this year? I don't even know, and it's stressful, and... And because I didn't plan, I end up using the credit card, which adds more stress. And I'm just overwhelmed. That sound like it for you too? Or what about a different story? Where instead of trusting myself, trusting my priorities, trusting myself to make life work the way I think it needs to, what if tomorrow morning I wake up and my number one goal is to meet the Lord. And that means I'm going to have to cut some things out. That means I'm not going to get to do everything that I want to do. And maybe for me, it's first thing in the morning. Maybe for you, it's during your lunch break. Maybe for someone else, it's right before they go to bed. But our number one priority is to meet the Lord. So we open up the Word, and maybe it's just one or two chapters. But we read it. It recognizes the words of life being poured into our soul. And we spend some time reflecting on the truth of God's word. We spend some time in prayer. God, help me. Help me not to be wise in my own eyes. Help me not to lean on my own understanding. Help me to trust you. Someone told me after first service, they say, when I do that, God just takes things off my plate. He just gently takes the things that I don't need to do that I thought I needed to do, and He just takes them off my plate. And sometimes there's a tension because it's like, it's not going to get done, but guess what? Maybe you didn't need to in the first place. See, this trust of the Lord doesn't mean you're not going to be busy. But what it means is you're going to be so refocused with your life that you're going to go about your day with a completely different priority. It's to engage with the Lord, to meet with Him, not to get your task list done, not to please every person that you come in contact with. It's to meet with Him. What's your story going to look like this week? What's your story going to look like this Christmas season? Is it going to be a story of I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed and I'm busy? Or is it going to be a story where you are able to say no to the right things? Where you're able to cut out the things that maybe aren't really part of what you need to be doing anyway? And that's scary because that means you actually got to trust the Lord. But you actually spend time with Him as you're meant to. And you find healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones. I'd like to ask you to pull out your connection card. Every week there are some next steps on there. And I don't always point them out, but these are designed to be tools for you in your spiritual growth. These aren't just something we do. This is something strategic. This is to help you grow. And every once in a while, I like to point them out, especially on a day like today. Because I would hate for you to leave today and have nothing change, and for you to have just an overwhelmed emotion the entire holiday season. So I'm going to ask you to maybe make a commitment today. Maybe make a couple commitments today that will get you pointing in the right direction, that will save you from some of the stress this holiday season, that will allow the Lord in His supernatural way to bring that healing and that refreshment we're talking about. There's four commitments on the back of your card. The first one says this. It says, I recognize I have been trusting myself more than God, and in this moment, I am turning back toward Him. Now, I have to check that today. I think most of us could check that just about any day of the week. I'm recognizing I'm trusting in myself more than God. Would you take a step today and say, I'm going to trust in Him? This is really repentance. Repentance is turning away from self and turning toward the Lord. Maybe that's you. The next one is I will make spending time with God my number one priority this week. This will change your life. Seems like such a small thing, doesn't it? Those of you here in this room who've been walking with the Lord for a while, though, I could bring them up one after another, and they can tell you that this has changed their life. Will you make spending time with the Lord your number one priority? Maybe that means you don't get all the house cleaning done. Maybe that means your boss is a little upset that you're leaving work on time. I don't know what it looks like for you, but if you trust God, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make straight your path. He'll take care of that other stuff. Would you make that your number one priority? The third commitment here is it says, I will read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 daily this week and work on memorizing it. This is kind of one that I like to do because I forget. So when I commit to memorizing something and reading something daily, it's like keeps it in front of my nose, so I'm not distracted by what's next and forget what I have committed to. Maybe that's helpful for you. Maybe memorizing these verses will keep your anchor of trust secure so you don't get thrown around by all the wind. And the last one is this. It says, I would like some help discovering how to truly trust God. Now, some of us in this room, we think about trusting God and we're not even sure what that means. If that's you, that's totally okay. It's totally okay. In fact, there are lots of people here that would love to come alongside you and just explain what it looks like and journey with you for a little while so you can see what it looks like to trust the Lord. Maybe you've never read the Bible before. Maybe you're intimidated. I understand. We would love to come alongside of you and just even show you, here's what it looks like to open up the Bible and to read it and to understand it. There's help for you here. Whatever your commitment is, take it seriously. This is looking forward to this wonderful season, the most wonderful time of the year. Let's make it truly that instead of making it just the busiest, most overwhelming time of the year. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each and every one of the people in this room right now. I thank you for the fact that you love them. And you want to show them that your ways are best. So God, we invite you to do that for each and every one of us today. God, I pray that you would reveal to us the ways where we're trusting in ourselves, where we're leaning on our own understanding, where we have become so wise in our own eyes, God, show us those things about us and then help us to turn toward you. Lord, help us to trust in you with all of our heart. Help us to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Help us to fear you and to turn away from evil. And God, as we do, help us to truly worship you 24/7. And Lord, when that happens, God, we look forward to the refreshment you bring to us, the healing you'll bring to us. And when we experience that, we will continue to praise you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.